How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, TuneInRadio.com, iHeartRadio.com. The list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world. And we are here on a very special day. It is November 9, 2014. November 9 just happens to be, yes, the anniversary of Survivor Series 1997. With Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Vince McMahon, the famous Montreal Screwjob. Today's the anniversary, everybody, and thankfully there is no WWE television show, or really any television show today, that can go and blatantly rip off that finish for the 9,000th time. But if you want to talk about the Montreal Screwjob, we can talk about that here today. Also, Survivor Series is coming up. Survivor Series at this point has got an Authority versus Team John Cena match. Really don't have a lot of team members for this 5-on-5 elimination match, but we can speculate about them today. This does lead to Raw tomorrow, where John Cena is going to be facing the Ryback in what I expect will be a match with no finish. Probably a bunch of dudes running in. John Cena and Ryback team up. They clear the ring, and Ryback ends up being on John Cena's team for the Survivor Series match. The stipulation, of course, is that if the Authority loses, they are no longer the Authority. And my guess would be, I don't know this, but my guess would be that perhaps there will be a stipulation added to the John Cena team as well. I've speculated that maybe the stipulation could be that if John Cena's team loses, he does not get his championship match against Brock Lesnar, which would actually be a great way to get out of that match if you don't want to do it. And we'll talk about that and all of the other news as well. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, Mike Sempervivi will be with us after the break. So stick around, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, during the break, I was doing a little math experiment that I do every now and then. And by the way, whenever you hear math experiment coming out of my mouth, you know that something is almost certainly going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about the Montreal Screwjob. This is the anniversary today. November 9, 1997, one of the most famous events in all of wrestling history. And if you go to, like, the WWE Network, people are still talking about the Montreal Screwjob to this day. Still documentaries being done on it. Bret Hart appears on television, they talk about it and that sort of thing. So, I have a nephew named Clifford. And Clifford is now, what is he? I believe he's 13. He's almost 14 years old. He'll be 14 years old, I believe, in May. And he's about 3 inches taller than I am. He's a classic teenager. He doesn't like to do anything.
He was, by the way, at 8.
Hey, well, he was. That's true. But he plays the guitar now. He's playing Metallica and all of the old classics that his dad has taught him on the guitar. And he's like a... He's not an adult, but, I mean, he's a kid. Anyway,
he's a growing young man.
Clifford was not even born when the Montreal Screwjob occurred. When the Montreal Screwjob occurred, it was 4 more years before Clifford was even born. And now he's a teenager causing trouble. And I think about what happened 4 years before I was born. Well, you know, Jim Morrison was found dead of the Doors. I mean, this stuff seems like ancient history to me. So I often wonder about these kids today. And, you know, a lot of my friends that have kids, like my buddy Craig and Avery, for example, and Dave's son, although Dave's son doesn't watch wrestling. You know, a lot of the kids that are watching wrestling with their parents nowadays, they're even younger than Cliff. They're under the age of 10. And sometimes I wonder about these kids that are watching the WWE Network and all of this stuff that, for some reason, it's still a big story to WWE. It's still something they got to talk about all the time. They just can't get it out of their brains. And all these kids today are just, I mean, it's like, may as well be World War II to these kids. It's so long ago to them.
Well, when enough time goes by and those kids come up and the only version of history that they know is what WWE is going to be teaching them, for the most part, I guess you go ahead and repeat the story. Plus, it came at a time where everything was, you know, easily accessible. You know, everybody knows the stories. DVDs have been made about it, you know, this side, the other side. It's just, in a way, I mean, it was a great rivalry. It was a great rivalry that went on, and it was a storied rivalry that ended in a storied fashion and then continued on for God knows how many years. I mean, how many years has it been now since Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels shook hands or whatever it was on that Raw? And then, you know, they had the Hart family Vince McMahon match. I mean, that wasn't all that long ago. And it's just something that's been able to hold up and become that piece of WWF history. And when we were little, people were complaining, longtime wrestling fans were complaining that WWF is trying to make it feel like, you know, wrestling didn't exist. You know, they took it out of the smoke-filled halls in 1984. Now we're kind of saying the same thing because it seems the way they've positioned the network and the things that they talk about that, you know, the Attitude Era is the birth of what these kids are seeing now. And in some ways they're correct, because if you were born in 1997, well, you know, look how old you are now. And again, if they're still wrestling fans, that's the stuff they're going to remember.
Just think it's funny to think about it. I mean, you know, we're going to have kids that are soon going to be not even teenagers, but, you know, in a few years, there are going to be kids that are now adults. And when people start talking about the Montreal Screwjob, they're just going to be saying, who cares? Why are you still talking about this? Nobody cares about this anymore. And man, that was a big story at the time. I remember it like it was yesterday. I sound like a 90-year-old man talking here today. But I guess that's what happens when time flies. We already got folks here calling, so let's jump to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Google from Irvine. I just like to say WWE finally got their heads out of their asses by putting back Ryback on the spot. Do you guys think that it's too soon for Ryback to go back in the main event? Like, I probably think that he should go a little lay low for a while. You think?
Well, whatever you think, I think he's going to be back in the main event. I mean, he's in the main event on Raw tomorrow, and he's probably going to end up in that big Survivor Series match. So,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, when I first heard it, I thought they were doing like deja vu shit with John Cena and Ryback, but.
Maybe make sure you watch the language, by the way. This is an over-the-air show.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I'm the judge from last time. Yeah, but, I just hope Ryback will go back to, you know, his spot, like, probably lay low like he's unlike last time, you know?
Well, you may be right. I'm not sure. I want to thank you very much for the call. Yes, Ryback is back on Monday. And it is interesting because we've got Survivor Series coming up. And yes, the main event is a 5-on-5 elimination match. And so if you put Ryback on the John Cena side and you put Rusev on the Team Authority side, then I guess they better hope that they decide to do a disqualification or a count out or something like that. Because I think pinning or submitting Rusev or Ryback at this time, especially in a throwaway Survivor Series 10-man elimination tag, I think that would be a bad idea.
Double DQ brawling outside the ring. People will kind of be upset about that until one man throws another man through the dasher boards and then throws him through something else, and then everybody will be happy. It would be a good way out of it, and it's really not about what they do with Ryback now. It's about what they do in the next upcoming couple of months. They need stars. This has been a, you know, thing we've talked about over and over again. Everybody knows that. They kind of have blown it with Cesaro and Sheamus, and we'll see what they do with Wade Barrett when he comes back. But there have been guys who could be considered threats and, you know, up top, and they haven't been able to follow through with them, and they bogged them down in, you know, ridiculous things. We'll see if they do that again with Ryback. Hopefully they don't. He's just another guy that gets fed to Rusev, and then they quickly move on to something else.
I would not do anything. I wouldn't do the double countout or double DQ with those two guys because I don't want a Rusev versus Ryback feud. Number one, because I don't think it would be a very good feud. And number two, listen, we already learned what happened once you beat Ryback. He's come back. It's a fresh slate. If you're going to do anything with the guy, then you got to keep him undefeated for as long as humanly possible, because as soon as you start beating him, he's nothing again.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, again, it depends on who you're going to have. I would do Rusev and Cena at WrestleMania. I don't know if they'd go
sure
in that direction. But say they, you know, you could tease something now with those two getting into something like that, and then you can keep them apart as long as you have them into something where people forget about, you know, the fact that they tease something at the Survivor Series or had a double DQ. Again, like you said, it's kind of a you know, even though it's free and it shouldn't be a throwaway pay-per-view, you could attach the term throwaway pay-per-view to it. So if you look at it that way, you could do that and get away with it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Ah, early call by Jim today. What's up?
Worried that Ed's going to sneak in here.
That's right.
I was always hearing that you and Mike are always talking about Alexa Bliss and NXT and everything. I saw something online I thought you would like to hear. It said that Triple H is very high on her and Sasha Banks.
Well, I would be as well. I was watching NXT and Sasha Banks is really starting to grow on me. I think she's got a lot of poise. I think she's not a bad worker at all. She looks good. So I think that I expect her to be called up before Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is still very green. I haven't even seen her on NXT lately. But I like them both.
Well, the thing about it is Triple H said the only downside is he thinks that they work too stiff.
That's kind of funny because the reports that I have gotten out of developmental is that everybody is encouraged to work stiff.
I don't know. I'm just reading what I read. I mean, telling you what I read.
Well, listen, here's the deal with the agenting and everything like that. I mean, I'm sure that if I got anybody from developmental on here, I would have them tell me that it's kind of funny. So-and-so tells me to lay it in and so-and-so tells me to lighten up and then so-and-so tells me to be stiff and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of mixed messages being sent. Jim, stick around. We'll go to a break and we'll get you when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We got Jim on the line here talking to ladies. Jim, what's up?
Well, we was talking about Alexa Bliss and Triple H saying the only bad thing. Well, reportedly he said that she worked too stiff. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
I've never worked with her. I would volunteer to do so if need be to determine whether this is accurate or not. But I don't know. Like I said, I mean they're told to lay it in. So you know if Hunter is in charge of developmental. So if he's got a problem with people working stiff, he just needs to make a stand and go, listen, everybody here needs to lighten up. But it's not her fault. If she's told to lay it in and she does, that's not on her.
Exactly. I would agree. Oh, I wanted to give a shout-out to a good friend of mine, Indy Lady.
Well, one thing, though, before you go any further, how stiff can Alexa Bliss even lay it in? She's 5 feet tall and 100 pounds.
Yeah, but remember now, she was a bodybuilder, and there's the thing. You do have women that are coming from, and granted, we don't think about volleyball in the same way we think about wrestling, but you have competitive athletic women coming from the fields of fitness, coming from, you know, so obviously they're competitive. So depending on who the agents, again, are for these house shows, which to my knowledge are not recorded or ever let out there or anything like that. But, you know, it depends on who the agent is and what they're looking for, or, you know, they're trained by Sarah Del Rey, who again could wrestle men without a problem, and the matches would be probably fantastic. So again, yeah, unless I wonder if there's really an issue with that, or if it's again, she's so green, he may have said it in a joking fashion or something like that, because again, I don't think she's, you know, laying heavy wood to Becky Lynch on the NXT house scene.
No, I don't think so either. I was going to mention a friend of mine, a good indie worker. Her name is Jordan Grace. She was one of the Rosebuds this week.
Really? Which one was she?
I think she's the one that had the big wig on, if you can remember. There were so many of them out there.
So she wasn't the giant hairy man?
No. She's like 5 foot nothing, you know.
I see.
I mean, but I was proud of her. I said, hey, at least you got your foot in the door. I mean, you know, anything is possible. Another thing, I heard you talking about the Montreal Screwjob a few minutes ago. Well, why does anybody never talk about the original Screwjob, Moolah of Wendy Richter?
Well, people do talk about it, but not to the same degree.
I thought you were going to bring up the Andre Deglain bite or something like
sure,
that.
Sure,
Richard in Montreal would bring that one up.
That was an even further back Montreal Screwjob with But I think the thing is, like, the Spider Lady Fabulous Moolah screw job, I mean, it was a screw job and everything like that, but it didn't really, it made no impact on the business. You know what I mean?
And I think, you know, like a lot of things, it got a cult following because it was on those WWF Coliseum video things, because that's the only way, unless you saw it live on the Garden, when they aired it on the Garden Channel, that's the only way you would have ever seen that. And I don't think it just, it didn't resonate like like the Montreal screw job in 97 obviously did.
No, it didn't, because the only thing I think got Wendy Richter out of the WWF.
Wendy Richter leaving the WWF had a much smaller impact on the history of the business than Bret Hart leaving the WWF.
Oh,
that was my point.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But, I mean, you know, she was...
I remember in the magazines, they tried to, you know, they were hoping it would be a good thing because of, I'm trying to think, in the AWA, like Candy Devine and Sherry Martel... And there were women like that saying, well, okay, you actually get some good matches. And, you know, obviously the business was so much different then. The women had been working, you know, there had been really good women workers, and there were only a handful of them in the WWF. And even by that point, Moolah's hold on these women had shrank, and there were more independent women. And those, you know, the matches did end up, I guess, happening in most cases, but it wasn't a big deal because they didn't have an outlet.
One last thing. Do you think we'll ever see... Michelle McCool wrestle again?
I would say never say never. I want to thank you very much for calling, Jim. I would say never, but I don't think she's going to ever come back like as a full-timer, but I can see her coming back for maybe like a one-off match here and there, especially if they ever decide that they need her in the Hall of Fame or something like that, but I would guess probably not back in a full-time role.
I will bet you anything Lay Cool is in the Hall of Fame one day.
Many years down the road... They probably will
That's
get
some
in
filler,
there.
Absolutely, come on.
I wouldn't say any time in the next couple
of
years.
On top of it?
Hey, they might put Undertaker and Michelle in at the same time.
That'll be still interesting to see how that one is played as far as when he's in there and how the whole thing goes down.
We're taking calls, by the way, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Brian. This is Richard from Montreal.
What's up, Richard?
I have a question for Mike.
Go for it.
Mike, where do you see the future of pay-per-view for WWE? Do you think they're going to go back if this network fails?
They should, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, as somebody that's only paying $9.99 every month for all of the pay-per-views, especially the big ones, the biggest being WrestleMania, if I were them, I would take it back off of there. I don't think they would lose that many people. You know, the problem is you miss that burst of people that subscribe before WrestleMania, and I know they would like that number to tout around when it comes to second quarter earnings and things like that. It makes everything look good for the stock, but, you know, it's artificial. I could see that being the same case this year, so I don't know. They were charging $74 for WrestleMania, or around that price, $70. You know, that could be raised to $75, $80. The same amount of people are still probably going to buy it. It's, you know, we're not that far away from seeing $100 boxing pay-per-view, so why would wrestling be any different? So it's, you know, I would take that off of there. I think at this point I would take the Royal Rumble off of there as well. Again, it just depending on what happens as far as subscribers in the first quarter of the year, if it's still sucking wind or if it's actually losing people, you're going to have to take actions like that, because what else do you have as far as, you know, being able to get that revenue in?
Yeah. And you think boxing will ever get a mega draw again? Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. Boxing.
I guess so. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to come around. But it's, I think, more of a matter of, are they going to be with what pay-per-view is now? You know, it's like you have to have a multimedia superstar. You know, that's how we're going to be describing the next person, where it's a multi-platform star, because Mayweather's the last guy left. Even Pacquiao isn't. They could get Pacquiao and Mayweather could have a big fight. you know, people will buy it. And as long as, again, as long as people have TVs and have satellite and cable service, there's still going to be some pay-per-view. But as we see it changing, where apps are taking over and HBO is going to have an app, and Top Ranks, you know, again, Top Rank Boxing, they have an app where they've aired their undercards before. So if that promotional company could do that, what's to prevent them from, you know, turning away from the cable industry and keeping 100% of the profits? I mean, the UFC, at, you know, if you order it through their service as opposed to ordering it through traditional pay-per-view means, you get little bonuses like being able to pick your camera angle and different things like that. So as, again, as the whole business continues to change, I wonder if it's not going to be a pay-per-view draw as much as a multi-platform draw.
My question is why Richard in Montreal asked those questions specifically to you and not to me.
The boxing one?
The question about taking the shows off the network and putting them back on pay-per-view. I have thoughts on this as well.
I'm sure that you do.
And my thoughts are that I think that that ship has sailed. I think that...
You can still do it with Mania.
Yeah, you could, but...
And look, if the thing is sucking that bad anyway, if it really is, and they have to make nice again with the cable industry, they're going to have some givebacks.
Well, yeah, but here's the deal. The same thing with the $9.99. They decided, and I still don't know why, they decided that instead of focusing on what you get if you subscribe to the WWE Network, we're going to focus on how much it is. Which to me is the least of their worries. You know, if you give people what they want on that network, they're going to pay however much it costs. $9.99, $10.99, $11.99, even $12.99. Anything higher than that, especially, I mean, but the point of this is, they have turned that $9.99 into a catchphrase. Which means a year down the road, if they think, you know, the easiest way to make a lot of revenue here would be to raise this thing to $12.99. Well, guess what? You have made $9.99 into a catchphrase now. You've sold T-shirts. You've made this into such a big deal that going back on that and moving it up to $12.99, I think it's going to end up being a big mistake. So they never should have they never should have fixated on the price ever. The price should have been what it was, with the consideration being, if we sell 1.5 million subscriptions, great. If we sell 500,000, well, we'll have to increase the price. But instead, they've locked themselves now into this $9.99. And what I would have done as well is I would have launched this network and not put any pay-per-views on it. And I would have charted the progress. And if they got 500,000 subscribers with no pay-per-views, which is unlikely, maybe they would have got like 250,000. I would look over the revenue and I would go, okay, well, is it worth it to try taking these shows off pay-per-view and putting them on the network instead? I would have gone slowly the way that UFC is doing it, instead of throwing everything up against the wall at the very beginning. We got to head to a break. We got a caller on the line. We'll take you when we get back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Live here from Seattle, a very rainy day in Seattle. Shocking, I know, to those of you listening right now. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, and yes, a whole bunch of radio shows. If you love this show, Wrestling Observer Live, and you only hear it once per week, you are missing out. I do shows every single day, usually two shows a day. Got another one coming up tonight. It is the Brian and Vinny Show. We will be reviewing SmackDown, NXT, Ring of Honor, and Lucha Underground. You can only hear it if you're a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. Not only to get all of the brand new shows, which you can download, podcast, stream, however you want to listen to your audio, not only to get all the brand new shows, but every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. WWE Network has 2,500 hours of content. WrestlingObserver.com, 6,000 hours. Coverage of all of the major shows, interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, daily shows, as noted. You will never run out of audio. WrestlingObserver.com is a place to go. We also have a free stream available. It streams through the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. You can hear it on TuneIn Radio by searching for F4W Live. F4WLive.com is the place to go as well. And on the stream is a sample of our latest free show. So head up there and check it out. If you like what you hear, sign up. Never run out of audio. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Tom from New York.
Tom, what's up?
I don't know if you guys caught the New Japan show this weekend.
I know that Mike did.
Well, Mike, I want to know, what did you think of that Ishii-Goto match? Do you think it's a match of the year candidate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially if you're a big Tomohiro Ishii fan. And for those who are unaware of the guy, he's just a wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling who's been around for a long time, who's really had a career resurgence in the last couple of years in New Japan, one of a couple of guys who have, and has really become a cult favorite. And he's a short guy who's just, you know, shaped like a big barrel, who takes extreme amounts of punishment and gives right back. He doesn't say anything. He's just got a lot of natural charisma, and he has no problem beating the tar out of you or letting you beat him up. The realism that are in his matches is great. The problem with that is the fact that sometimes it's too real, and it's too cringeworthy. And the other problem that some people say is it's an Ishii match, where you have to have a very specific kind of style of match with him, where you're beating on him, and there's, you know, comebacks and a lot of stiff spots, and then, you know, ultimately, however the win happens, it happens. But it's really, really good. And he's had a lot of those matches in the last couple of years. He's had some really good ones this year in the G1 tournament that they had earlier on in the summer. And this was right in line with them. Hirooki Goto, who's, again, if in another era, Goto could be the New Japan champion. But there's just so many good guys there. He's down on the card a little bit, but he's really good. And he was the perfect foil for Ishii in this match. And, you know, this Osaka show in November, when they added it a couple of years ago, people were wondering what it was going to be like, and they didn't like the fact that we could see more IWGP title defenses, because that was a big thing in Japan. You know, in WWE, in that Attitude Era, in both companies, you got world title changes happening, you know, multiple times on a show. It got to that point in WCW and in WWF. I think they did that a couple of times. They were still a sacred thing in Japan when it came to those promotions, and people were worried about that, but it's worked out well, and this show has really become their Royal Rumble leading into January's WrestleMania, the Tokyo Dome show, and they have set up pretty much their entire show for January 4th has been set up already. Which just proves, you know, again, when you add some more realism and a little bit of a more sporting atmosphere into it, and you have good booking, you know, you can give people something that they're wanting for, that they're looking for. You don't have to pull out surprises and sleight of hands and things like that when you're doing things well. And New Japan is certainly doing things well right now.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about, what did you think, without giving away spoilers to people who haven't seen the New Japan show, what do you think of the Wrestle Kingdom card so far?
I think it's excellent. You know, it's hard to not give spoilers and talk about it, but it's a really excellent card. You know, everybody that you would, there were some turns that have been taken, you know, that the average person wouldn't know about, the average fan wouldn't know about, that, you know, that have led to these matches that are great. And again, it's hard without, you know, letting people know the spoilers. One example, I'll just throw one out there. Shinsuke Nakamura and Kota Ibushi. Probably the average fan didn't see that one exactly coming, but you're going to get that on January 4th. And that's a great, great match. And, you know, with that happening, everything kind of fell right with some really good matches that are going to be taking place.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. All right. Thank you guys for taking my call. Love the show.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. What Observer Award could young Ishii get this year? I don't think he's getting a Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah, well, he's going to get votes for it. Well, he's going to get votes for, what is it, Fez Flair, the MVP, and then the other one is Box Office. So if you're going for the wrestling side of the award, there's a really good chance that people are going to vote for him. You know, he wouldn't fit in the technical category. In the brawling category, even though it's not traditionally, you know, he's not Bruiser Brody and outside the ring and all that sort of stuff, but for the stiffness and that style, if that's how you look at brawling, as far as that realism goes, he's going to get votes there. But he most certainly, from New Japan fans, A lot of people look at him as the best guy in the promotion, which, you know, everybody's got their favorite. Shinsuke Nakamura's had a hell of a year. Kazuchika Okada's a hell of a wrestler. Obviously, there's Hiroshi Tanahashi, who's been their MVP for the last several years. But if again, people that like Ishii love Ishii, and you're going to see him in a lot of Match of the Year candidates as well, too. You know, look, just in the G1 alone, you could say five or six of them. And all those guys, you could probably say that for. But again, this one just added to his resume of just classic matches if you like that style. If you don't, you know, then you're obviously going to lean in a different direction, more of a, you know, a pro wrestling style of thing that's not as brutally stiff as these Ishii matches can be.
So the other question, obviously, is who's going to win Best Technical Wrestler? Because Daniel Bryan has won about 9,000 times. I think people vote for him just because that's who they vote for. He has been out of action all year long, practically. Is he still going to win this thing?
It's possible. I mean, you know, those first 4 months, even though they were, you know, he was in a WWE storyline leading into WrestleMania. And I mean, he should be rewarded for that more than the technical side of things. But, you know, hey, he's still, when called upon, he could still be great. But I, you know, I'm sure a Dragon Gate fan would say one of their guys, Kazuchika Okada would fit. Tetsuya, you know, who could actually fit with that? If you want to look at technical wrestling, not necessarily as, you know, Gotch style or Fez style wrestling, Dory Funk Jr. style of wrestling, which I know it gets hooked to, and you want to look at it as a guy who could have a great match with anyone, who's a great technician, who puts great matches together. You know, in Japan, Tetsuya Naito could actually get some votes for that because he's excellent at that. So, I, you know, it is a little bit more wide open this year. Who knows, you know, who could possibly get it? But, hey, I got nothing more on that.
We are taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. Give us a call. On the WWE Network right now is the debut of the former Prince Devitt. Finn Balor just made his debut, and him and Hideo Itami.
It's not Finn Balor?
Finn Balor.
Balor.
Balor? Balor? Point of this is, him and the former Kenta, and by the way, the fans are chanting Dream Team here. They destroyed...
The fans were, I think, a little bit too excited.
They destroyed the Ascension. He looks great. I think he's going to be a big star. Did you see his debut, and what did you think?
I did. Maybe it was because he was going up against the Ascension. You know, it was good, and I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. Really, it's not as much Devitt, who was a big New Japan star, for those who are unaware of who we're talking about, and Kenta, a former Noah star in the promotion Noah in Japan. I think it's best for him because that's how Kenta's going to stand out, is these tag matches that... I mean, think about them having a tag match right now against Tyson Kidd and Adrian Neville. Yeah, how great is that? You know, them having matches with anybody who aren't the Ascension, it's probably going to be pretty great, and it's going to help him a lot more. Baylor, it's just all going to depend. I, even though he doesn't need to be in NXT, I don't want to see him in WWE without some sort of direction. I know he doesn't need to be in WWE, but unless they have something really good for him, I am completely fine having him down there, or bringing guys down from the roster to work with him or something like that down there, and then, you know, kind of feeling it out and seeing what they can do. So no need to rush him up. I'm happy for him right now. And he doesn't need Kenta, but it's, again, for short term, their team is going to be really good.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ken from Long Island.
Ken, what's up?
I know, usually I call and blast the WWE Network. This week I am going to praise you guys. Everybody, when Brian says subscribe to Wrestling Observer, do it. The best $11 I've ever spent in my life.
Wow.
A month. And I used to, like, you know, people would give me, you know, links and here's that, or, you know, you pirate an episode. And for anyone who commutes to work, you go through a train, you don't get your LTE service, and you had already downloaded the MP3, it makes the commute amazing. So that's the first part. When Brian says do it, guys, give it a try. Trust me on this. Give it
plus,
a try.
If you're driving cross-country, I do shows with Dave Meltzer that go on for hours on end. That's actually why I've been dead asleep for this first hour of this show, is because Dave and I did a two-hour show, watched two shows overnight Friday night into Saturday morning. I haven't recovered since.
That's pretty impressive. Well, that's I didn't pay for this either.
When you do the Saturday night shows and then, you know, I have to listen to 2 hours and my wife wants to do stuff all day, that's the tough part, because then, you know, by Monday there's already like five more shows and you get very behind. Unlike WWE Network, which like you watch once a month when the pay-per-view's on, or NXT once a week for 45 minutes, you can't keep up on this stuff. But anyway, enough kissing butt. New Japan World streaming service, Mike. Start hyping it now. I want to hear you hype it every week till we get this 12-1 announcement.
Oh, God, I hope this works, because Nico, the service that's on now, obviously with Ustream stopping their broadcast of internet pay-per-view, stopping their, you know, things there, you've had to go through a Japanese service called Nico, which, you know, it might take your credit card, it may not. It's just, some people have had success with it, and unfortunately, that's the only place that New Japan is right now. But on this past show that they had on Friday night into Saturday morning, they brought up this website, njpwworld.com. That the rumor is it looks like it could be basically their 24/7 style of service, their WWE Network style of service, where things are going to be available on demand. They could have live matches, and the hope is that they can take everything in-house, and fans here in America, fans in the UK, fans in Canada, and everywhere else that are not in Japan are going to be able to use this to order the iPay-per-views and not have to worry about anything else. That's at least the hope. They're going to have the announcement, I guess, coming up here in a couple weeks as far as what it's going to be.
Well, I want to thank you so much for the call. We actually have to head to break, but we'll talk more about this when we get back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And I will praise the WWE Network. It's got episodes of Total Divas, which you can watch in HD and with no sound. What could be better? I don't get E in HD here for some reason. I get like every channel in high def except E. So I was watching Total Divas in standard definition. All of these episodes in standard definition. I mean, can you imagine having to watch this show every week and it's not even in high def? But I am watching it on...
Yeah, it seems to be high def would be the way you'd want to go with Total Divas.
Yeah, I found Nurse Nikki, it's called, here on the network. And I'm going to watch it during this show, everybody. If you want to give us a call after the top of the hour break, the phone number is 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We are toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And we got a lot of news to talk about in the second hour. There was a UFC. Actually, there was UFC on Friday and Saturday. So we can talk about those shows as well as more leading into the Survivor Series. Of course, tomorrow is Raw. We can talk about that show as well. And a lot of news as well. Your phone calls, of course, 855-478-4478. When we get back from the top of the hour, we'll start taking those phone calls. So if you're calling right now, you may as well take a quick break and get back to us then. Also want to talk to Mike about Kenta. I've been receiving some interesting emails about Mr. Kenta and his performance in NXT thus far. So I want to talk to you about that and so much more, everybody. So do not touch that internet dial. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are Everest Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, TuneInRadio.com, iHeartRadio.com, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. By the way, if you are listening to this on Sunday, you can check out our replay on Sports Byline USA every Monday at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. And if you're listening to this on Monday, hey, you can listen to the show live on Sunday nights, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, here on Sports Byline USA. We're going to be taking your phone calls after the next break. In fact, let's actually go to the phones right now. We have a limited amount of time, but I can hold this person over the break. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Frank from New York.
Frank, what's up?
Well, two things. First, I read Death of WCW, and it is by far the most my most favorite wrestling book that I've ever read.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not paying anybody for any of these today, everybody, just so you're all aware.
And I read the hardcover edition, so I would highly recommend it.
Nice.
I was just wanted to know if you or Dave Meltzer would be at the Cauliflower Alley Club this year for their annual reunion, because I would love to bring it and have you sign it for me.
Well, unless something goes terribly wrong, and I want to thank you very much for the call. Unless something goes terribly wrong, I will be at Cauliflower Alley this year, as will Dave. So if you want to bring the book, I will be there to sign it. You can actually get Dave to sign it as well, since he wrote the foreword to the book. And cheap plug, everybody, Amazon.com, as well as booksellers everywhere. The book is available right now. I very much appreciate that call and the comments on the book. We got to head to our break. Back in a moment with more Your Phone Calls, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here watching a replay of Total Divas. How exciting. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. If you've been waiting to call, now is your opportunity. Give us a call right now. Phone number's available, obviously, at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as everything else you need to contact us here on the show. My Twitter, by the way, at Brian Alvarez, and Mike Sempervivi is up at Sempervivi. So head up to Twitter, and we'll take some Twitter questions as well. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
I knew you'd call today, Ed. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday I happened to watch the WSU pay-per-view.
Get out of here.
I'm stunned.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as the Shine shows, but it was a decent show. But what I want to talk about is something about, you know, we've heard Dave kind of rant about this for the past couple weeks. And on this show, they had two intergender matches. They had Annie Social against someone, and then they had Kimberly against her, I guess it's her, like, real-life boyfriend. And the first one was just so-so, but the Kimberly one was actually probably the best match of the show, and I highly enjoyed it. But, you know, hearing Dave talking about, like, the Lucha Underground intergender matches, he's really down on it and just doesn't like it at all. And I'd like to get your opinions on women versus men.
I would be happy to give you my opinion, Ed. Let me do so right now. Here's the deal with men versus women. I have women in the jiu-jitsu class that I teach. And I have no problem watching the women grapple the men or grappling the women myself. Because all we're doing is grappling. We're having a grappling contest. No one is punching or striking or elbowing each other. That would be very, very uncomfortable. But as far as just like wrestling and grappling, I don't see a big deal with it at all. When you see like women fighters, if you saw a Ronda Rousey fight and she's going in there and she's going up against another woman who is her same weight and they're exchanging strikes, at least it's two girls who are of the same weight. It isn't even so much men versus women. I mean, if you had, and this is what people complain about with Cyborg. If you have somebody like Cyborg who is all jacked up, it has the physique of a man, and looks like she outweighs her female opponent by 20 pounds, and she's going in there and pounding on her. It doesn't matter if it's man versus woman, or technically woman versus woman. That would be uncomfortable. Just the same way as a lot of people are fine watching two guys have an MMA fight, but if you took like a big, giant, strong guy like Mark Hunt, and you put him in the ring with a guy who he outweighed by 80 pounds, and Mark Hunt is just pounding on this guy, that would feel uncomfortable as well. So when it comes to men versus women matches in pro wrestling, if you've got a man versus a woman, and there's almost always going to be a size difference, unless it's like Alexa Bliss versus Spud. If you have a man versus woman match in wrestling, and it's largely they're doing wrestling moves on each other, you know, maybe they're doing a little bit of chain wrestling, maybe even some slams, some Hurricanranas, that sort of thing. I don't think that's a problem at all. But when you put a larger man in the ring with a smaller woman, and the larger man is like punching her and elbowing her and striking her, that is no good. So it all depends on the context. There's a way to do it right in a non-uncomfortable manner, and there's a way to do it wrong. And the way they did it in Lucha Underground, where the girl's talking about surviving abuse and this and that, and then she goes in there with a larger man, and he's punching her and smashing her, and then he beats her. Yeah, I can understand why people would find that very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I just hate
it. What about you, Mike?
So it's as simple as that one is. You know, I know.
Even the ones that are built more for like this.
Hold on, Ed. You're talking over Mike. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Mike.
There can be times for stories. I mean, Bob Evans has got one where he faced Nikki Rocks, and there was a story behind it. And, you know, they had the thing where, you know, Bob's obviously the bad guy, but, you know, he's still a father, and he doesn't want to hit this woman. And so, you know, and so there's ways to have it as part of a story, but mostly on the indies. And it's just, and a lot of the times when it's with weapons and stuff like that or respect matches, it just, it's a lack of creativity. It is uncomfortable to watch, and it's just not my bag. You know, if you don't have two women wrestlers there to face each other, then I don't know. Like Brian said, if it's a wrestling match, fine. When it's elevated anything past that, it just, for 99% of the time, and I'm sure somebody can, you know, you can always point to history and have something there where it's like, well, okay, this is okay, it worked. But that one time doesn't make up for the 99 times it happens on the indies, and it just looks like sleazy trash.
Yeah, I will say that, I thought it was the best match of the show, but there were a couple of drop kicks or a couple punches where it's like, I was kind of like, whoa. But
if you're going to do it, no strikes. If you're a good worker, you should be able to have a wrestling match with the women and not throw a strike.
Well, then there are rules in wrestling that would actually, you know, make that happen.
Uh-huh. Speaking of a women's striker, they also had a Mickey Knuckles on the show, and I hadn't seen her since she was in TNA for that brief period years ago, and I didn't recognize her at first because she came out with like Bull Nakano hair, you know, just all straight up, and she has gained considerably amount of weight. She has a big belly, but she was like one of the best workers on this show, and I think she had some of the best facials in all of pro wrestling. I was kind of blown away because it'd been so long since I'd seen her, and then when I saw how big she had gotten, I wasn't expecting much. But yeah, she was pretty great.
Well, you know, on the other side of the coin, if I saw Mickey Knuckles beating on you, Ed, I'd probably feel uncomfortable as well. It wouldn't feel like a fair fight.
It probably
out on the street, I guess that could be different there, couldn't it? But I guess it shows too. The WSU is more of the takes a more risque approach than the shimmers and the shines of the world.
Yeah, there was an angle they did during that intergender match when the guy, he has like a manager who's like, I guess, a big fat cross dresser, and he tried to get involved, and he got
sounds awesome.
Dropped. Yeah, he got a time drop, and then he went to fill his butt, and then he had brown stuff on his hands. So, yeah, it's not as classy as a Shiner Shimmer.
I can see you must love that,
Ed?
Show, didn't you?
Must you? All right, Ed, I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm hanging up on him after that one. Do we really need to hear about that on the air for crying out loud?
Of course not.
So much stuff, I'm sure, to talk about in that WSU show.
He wants a job as the women's wrestling correspondent.
Yeah, that's his idea. Let's see. Don't you think, Edward says here, and it's not that Edward, WWE are very hypocritical for trashing WCW for misusing Goldberg and the Cruiserweights, yet they did a worse job with them. Well,
yeah.
I guess you could probably argue that now, couldn't you?
The only thing they can ever point to, and they won't even remember it, is when Rey Mysterio in San Diego defeated Matt Hardy version 1.0 or whatever it was to win the title that main evented SmackDown. And that was actually kind of, in a vacuum, a kind of a little bit of a big deal that could happen. And that's the only thing I think WWF can point to. Maybe it's, you know, introducing the world to Taka Mikanoshu at the time was another one, because he really was able to do some things in WWF that people had not seen. People in WCW had seen it, but they had not seen that in WWF. And he really did a good job there. Outside of that, you got Goldberg. You got S.A. Rios just for his theme music and the fact he got Lita there. And hey, Mr. Aguila's made a career out of that for years, so I guess you can give him that too. I can't see a countdown special happening, though.
I just watched Drew McIntyre here on Total Divas before he'd been fired.
What was he doing?
It's just it was an episode where what's her face, the redhead Eva Marie, was doing ring announcing and she butchered 3MB's names, and Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre confronted her afterwards and essentially told her she was an idiot. It's the kind of drama you're missing on this show, Mike. It's crazy.
You know, I remember seeing it with Brodus and Cameron or whatever it was. I know he was all upset in the first season. I remember that, but they kind of lost me.
We're taking your phone calls, everybody. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We'll be taking calls again after the break, so check it out. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez is here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And I just was watching Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella grapple. Weren't we just talking about that on the air? They were having a grappling match in their living room. And Brian had her in side control.
The things you can only get on the WWE Network.
She was trapped and was unable to escape. We're taking your phone calls, everybody. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Mike, I've been meaning to ask you about your boy Kenta Hideo Itami. He, of course, was a huge star in Japan, huge star in NOAH. Had some amazing matches, and now he is here in NXT, and he is a WWE wrestler. He is small, he doesn't have a great physique, he is working everybody else's style, and a lot of people have noted, this ain't Kenta.
You got him in there with the Ascension. Now, think about this. Justin Gabriel, Tyson Kidd, Adrian Neville, who was Pac, Sami Zayn, who was El Generico. Practically anybody you could have had him in there with, it would have made more sense. Now, I don't know if this came from, there was a plan to bring the Ascension up. It was going to be a short-term thing. I don't know. And then plans changed. They kept him down there and they figured, okay, well, we'll team up with Finn Balor, people like that, you know, down the line. Maybe this has been some whole, you know, grand plan, holding pattern sort of thing. And this will be a breakout for him. I don't think so, though. He could be on the WWE roster. I go against people that would say they would want him there because, again, you know, looking the way he does at his height, at his weight, the style he works, unless you have something really good, what is he going to do? You know, what purpose would he serve up there? So I'm okay with having him in NXT. I just think getting him away from the Ascension, and hopefully they give him something where they have a guy that he could work with better as he learns this, you know, WWE style that they want him to work, where he's working everybody else's stuff, and he can figure it out more for himself because he's not a stupid guy. I mean, it's just there's a lot of habits to undo after all of those years of working that way. You know, for Devitt, the curve hasn't been exactly as long, and he's gone more places. Kenta has basically just been in Japan his entire time in NOAH doing what he does, and he's done it great. You know, he did a great job for a long time over there, if you like that style. But here it's, you know, the habits are hard to break, and I think transitioning him with somebody else would have been a better way to do it. And if he does happen to have a team with Devitt here going, or with Finn Balor here going, that'll make his transition hopefully even easier for him because the pressure will be off a little bit. If he's on his own, they got to get him with Tyson Kidd or Gabriel or any of these other guys who, again, can bridge the gap for him a lot better. And there's not a whole lot of time here. I know initially people were like, well, why would they bring him in if they weren't going to bring him up to the main roster? They said that about Prince Devitt, too. And you just, I'm sorry, there was no way that was going to happen, as unfortunate as it may be for people. But here's one of the reasons why. What would he be doing on the main roster right now if he was there? Probably not much. Getting killed by Rusev.
So what you're saying is you're not overly concerned right now.
Not really, no. I mean, it depends on how long he's in this for, because I don't think he's going to age too terribly where next year, even if it's that long, he's going to look that much different. You know, hopefully he's not, you know, he's been in a lot of stiff stuff over there, but hopefully he's not that much banged up, you know, 3, 6, 9 months from now when he gets to work with guys a little bit better. Because, again, what he showed with the Ascension is he's not going to be able to come in and take the ball and go off with it. I don't think Baylor really did either in that match, although it was a tag match and, you know, give him a pass on day one of it. But, again, him working with anybody else would help this transition a little bit. If you look, think about if you start working with Tyler Breeze right now, you know, and he got to be around him. Breeze is going to be up on the main roster. I think Sami Zayn's going to be up on the main roster. So, you know, again, once they go up, he'll have guys that if things work out, he'll have somebody at least he can go up against when they do bring him up, and it could, you know, actually accentuate his positives. I know, heaven forbid, WWF would do that, but, you know.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
David from Tacoma.
From Tacoma? Hey. Wow, what's going on?
Hey, I don't have the internet now, so I can't hear you. I was just calling. I've been a fan for a little while. I was just wondering, why is the WWE trying to copy from TNA a little bit now?
In what sense?
They're copying their, like the recently, right now they're copying the McMahon saying that the authority cannot be in charge in the next pay-per-view if they lose. And TNA did that not too long ago when, what's her name, lost to,
Dixie?
I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart.
When Dixie got put through the table?
Yes. No, when she lost to who lost last week.
What was it last week? I don't even remember last week.
I know. I'm just having a brain.
Well, I can tell you this.
MVP.
MVP, yes. I can tell you that.
She lost to MVP and he won and she was no longer in charge.
Okay.
And MVP was in charge.
Yes. Well, I can tell you this, that both sides would say that they don't copy from the other. But I know that there are people in both companies that do watch the other company. And it actually, I haven't noticed it a lot lately, but there was a period several months ago where, like, we would see something happen on Raw, and then the same thing would happen on Impact a couple of weeks later. And then something would happen on Impact, and literally the following Monday, they would do virtually the same storyline. I don't have an answer for you other than my guess is that some of the people at the very top, like Vince McMahon, don't watch TNA. And so if somebody on the creative team watches TNA and decides they want to copy an idea, Vince doesn't know enough to put a stop to it, so it ends up going on television.
It's been that case with LA. Look at the way they booked themselves in the corner with pay-per-views like Impact. We used to laugh at Impact for that, and WWE started doing it more and more and more. And you know, the Beautiful People was one that they took.
That's right, Lay Cool. Lay Cool was directly stolen from the Beautiful People in TNA.
Yes, they were, and then they brought them back, and I didn't like the Beautiful People, still don't.
No, they...
The Homely People?
Yeah, the Beautiful People gimmick was so great the first time around, and they brought it back, and it's just never been the same.
Yeah, they're just very hideous people.
Eye people.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate you calling in, especially from Tacoma, my backyard. Actually, thankfully, Tacoma is not my backyard, but it is within 40 miles of this studio here.
How do you know it was Tacoma, Washington?
What other Tacoma would there be?
I'm sure there could be a Tacoma somewhere. I know there's a Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Well, he didn't say Tacoma Park now, did he?
Well, I'm just saying you got to assume that that's what it is. People call and say nice things about your book. You just think everything's about the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, you're right. Okay, so I just Googled Tacoma. Mm. And the first thing that comes up is the city of Tacoma, Tacoma, Washington. I don't see any other Tacomas, dude.
Hmm.
Not a single
Toyota
one.
Tacoma.
Actually, that did come up at the bottom right there as well.
Maybe he's living out of his truck somewhere and he calls it Tacoma.
Hey, you may be right. Hadn't thought of that.
Stole that from a Native American anyway, probably.
So for those of you that missed the first hour, and I want more information as well, tell me what's going on with this New Japan streaming deal.
It's called they ran a commercial for it. It's NJPWworld.com, and it's the rumor is they have a little 30-second video up on the website, and the feeling is that it's going to be a a site where you'll be able to get hopefully streaming of their big events, but at least some sort of video or on-demand capabilities with watching their long catalog of history. As Dave said on one of the shows this weekend, you know, New Japan's one of the promotions that's pretty much got everything since its inception in 1972. Everything is on videotape, so if they decided to roll out with all of their stuff on demand, it could be an amazing thing. But again, we could be jumping the gun here, but it's just the fact that they announced it in such a high profile setting, and it's tied in with TV Asahi, who is their television partner over there and runs their weekly show. That's the assumption, is this is going to be a new channel, and the hope is, if you're outside of Japan, it's going to be if you're a New Japan fan, it would be your WWE network.
Well, there you go. Very exciting. I am excited for the Tokyo Dome show. I'm going to be watching it probably live on January 4th on pay-per-view. And obviously we'll be talking more about that as the date draws near. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Eric from Minnesota.
Eric, what's going on?
I watched the first episode of SmackDown on the WWE Network within the last month and wanted to get your guys' ideas why Shawn Michaels turned heel in the main event and nailed the Sweet Chin Music on The Rock in the main event for the title.
Why did he do that?
Yeah, because I remember reading in Michaels' book that he was planning for a comeback and I think drugs got in the way or something. I was just wondering what the plan was for behind Michaels nailing the Sweet Chin Music.
Well, I'm going to go back during the break and I will check out the timeline and see if I can have an answer for when we come back from the break. So thanks very much for the call. We'll follow up after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, watching Total Divas as John Cena has handed Nikki the papers. She's got to keep quiet about everything that goes on in Casa del Cena. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always check out WrestlingObserver.com. We got daily news updates, tons of articles up there, and also a million radio shows. I personally do radio shows every single day. We got a lot of other people doing radio shows as well. Mike did 2 hours with Dave on Saturday night. And if you're a lover of this program, I have no better way to put it. If you love Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee you that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Not only do we do subscriber-exclusive shows, 2 a day every single day, but every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. The WWE Network Archives, 2,500 hours. The Observer Archives, 6,000 hours of audio in the archives. We have free samples up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can download them, or if you head to WrestlingObserver.com or also TuneIn Radio or any of the other places where our stream is available, streaming through the front page right now is, at this exact moment, the November 6th edition of Figure Four Daily with myself and Todd Martin is up there. You can go up there and listen to that. If you like what you hear, hey, that is one of hundreds of shows we produce a year, thousands that we have produced since the beginning of this website, all available for you for as low as $9.99 a month. If you sign up for a full year, month to month, it's $10.99, but it is worth it. If you love pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there right now, sign up, and enjoy all of the audio. The guy called earlier today and talked about how awesome it was. He said it was the best $10.99 he'd ever spent. Those are his words. I did not pay him for that. I did not coerce him. I didn't even know he was going to say it, but that was a good testimonial right there. So sign up to WrestlingObserver.com and check it out. The phone number, 855-478-4478. We are taking your phone calls toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. And in looking through my archives, I could not find any information on that period with Shawn Michaels. It was April of 1999. And I know that obviously he left in early, mid-1998 after WrestleMania, and he came back. I know that there was a period in there where he was having personal issues. I know there was a period in there where he got some back surgery. I'm just not sure of the exact timeline of it. He did return, obviously, full-time in 2002 which originally, that first SummerSlam match with Triple H was only going to be a one-off, and he was going to see how his back held up, and maybe he would do a match here and there. His back ended up holding up fine, and he was great in the ring, and so he ended up coming back full-time until, what, 2012, something like that? So, yeah, I'll try and have more information over the next couple of weeks. I'll try and look back on that. But that's the story of Shawn Michaels. Anything to add to that, Mike?
Not really. I can't. It's hard to
was
remember.
Was Shawn
back
great
then.
Or what?
Michaels?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
One of the best of all time.
He really was. And you know what? I did not appreciate him as much as I should have then. Yeah, believe it or not, it actually took him going away, and maybe it was just growing up and being a little bit more partial to the NWA and WCW at that time. And, you know, when DX first started, there was a little bit of a pushback that it was just a NWO kind of ripoff sort of deal. And, Michaels was obnoxious to the point of, I tended to watch WCW a little bit more. Again, it wasn't just that, the reasons for that or anything, but, some of the antics and losing the smile and some of that stuff got in the way where it wasn't until he was gone. And it's just like you had to think about how good he really was. You know, sometimes I would put him up against Ric Flair, and I still think Ric Flair was, I guess if it had to come down to one guy, I'd probably take Ric Flair. But for a lot of people, most of them at that time growing up and watching that, there certainly wasn't Ric Flair that they remembered or Ricky Steamboat. It was Shawn Michaels, and it took him going away before I really kind of had to sit back and realize how awesome he was. It was just that, that whole Attitude Era was so head-spinning at that time. You knew, he was awesome, but it wasn't until he was gone before it really sunk in. Damn, he was great, and being able to get him back for those matches against Chris Jericho and The Undertaker, it just, a classic, incredible story of a career.
Let me give a Shawn Michaels speech here very quickly. Shawn Michaels was an undersized heavyweight, and by heavyweight, I mean somebody who was not considered a cruiserweight or a mini. He was too small when he first started coming up. And Shawn Michaels, I remember when there was debate about whether Shawn Michaels should go into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, and people would bring up all of these political maneuverings that he was involved in, and he could be a very difficult guy to work with, and he wanted to get his way, and he would complain, and he would quit, and he would cause problems for Vince McMahon. Sometimes it would cause problems for the company, but the machine rolled on. But he was a guy that he wore his heart on his sleeve, so to speak. He let his voice be heard. If he didn't like something, he complained long and loud about it. Sometimes he made people's lives miserable. But let me tell you something. Maybe wrestling would not be in the state it's in today if more guys were like Shawn Michaels. What we have today in WWE is a promotion full of guys who are scared. They're terrified to speak up. If they speak up, they have to speak up in such a way where it sounds like it's part of a storyline. Or they sound like they're ribbing on the square. It's not their real feelings. People today are terrified. They're petrified. Nobody stands up for themselves. And as a result, we've got this mid-card here, which is just about the most useless mid-card of all time. And I'm not talking about anybody personally. I'm not talking about anybody's level of talent. But we have a mid-card where every single guy on that mid-card is completely interchangeable. You could fire randomly, completely at random, 90% of the mid-card, and the machine would just keep on rolling. We got a very limited number of guys in the main event, and the guys that are in the main event right now are the guys that have been in the main event forever. Where are all the new guys coming up? I don't know! Sometimes they get a push and then they're right back down into the mid-card again. They grumble a little bit here on social media. They grumble a little bit there. But overall, they all just shut up and they do what they're told and they take it. And a guy like Shawn Michaels didn't do that. And if Shawn Michaels had done that, if Shawn Michaels back in the 90s had behaved like the guys behave today, there would be no Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels would be Marty Jannetty. And God bless Marty Jannetty, but that's who Shawn Michaels would be. He'd have been Marty Jannetty. Shawn Michaels would be hey, remember that guy? Shawn Michaels, man, he was talented, but they never did anything with him. And then he went to WCW and, you know, they treated him like this or that. Sometimes you got to be like Shawn Michaels in this business. And we don't have enough guys today to do it. And to think that people thought his behavior should keep him out of the Hall of Fame. You want to know how many people in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame are miserable people and have done terrible things in their lives, but they've managed to keep it quiet, and they've managed to keep a fairly
not even quiet.
Positive public face. That's right. There are a lot of miserable people there in that Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame because it's the wrestling business, and especially in that era, there were a lot of people that did a lot of crazy, unsavory things, but they're still in the Hall of Fame. I look back on it and the things that people complained about, it's like, that's why some people ended up being big stars. And that's why there's a big lack of big stars today.
Well, I got a question for you. Where would CM Punk be if it wasn't for Shawn Michaels actually speaking up a little bit? And
well, I'll tell you what he wouldn't be.
Lately.
He wouldn't be a millionaire.
Well, but, you know, and it's, again, it was, there's where wrestling, when there was more than one place to work, And unfortunately, and you know, John Cena, this is where John Cena deserves. I defend John Cena from a lot of criticism sometimes from people like, you just got to flip him heel. And no, there's ways to do it without it. But the thing with him is he's got the power to say, no, I don't really want to say that. I mean, he's got that power, and it does not seem to be it, to me, it doesn't seem to he doesn't wield it. He's OK to get along, to go along. And hey, it's worked. He's been on top now for it's been literally, what, 10 years plus that he has been on the top of that show. So I guess I wouldn't be complaining if I were him. But all that corniness that we talk about and some of those things, he's got the ability to change that. He's got the ability to help. Look how many people have gone up against John Cena and then hit the ether. You know, Cesaro was one of them. You know, Barrett was one of them. How many guys, who's been elevated? And again, that's not all on Cena. That's on the WWE. But yeah, maybe if there was somebody more there to rock the boat, you know, JTG said what he had to say was donked off relatively quickly, or at least was put into the freezer for a long time, you know, when they were paying him to do nothing until they unthawed him and fired him. There's been plenty of guys like that, and guys just don't want to say anything because they don't want the paycheck to go away, and they know they're interchangeable. But, you know, it takes some balls from some of the guys on top to help out here a little bit and help some of these guys, because Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, the ones who have done that are still the ones that actually have a mythical specialness to them now.
Vince likes a guy that's going to second guess him.
That's, you know? And there's where the story too. And granted, there are,
but you
got to
be careful about it. Not,
yes,
it doesn't work
of
for everybody.
Of guys who have not, but if you have, if you can actually back up your swagger and have the ability to stay in there. I mean, look what Paul Heyman has done as far as lying and deceit and everything else inside that company multiple times. You know, dealing with things, and look where he's at.
Just speaking of, I'm watching Daniel Bryan go sign autographs for fans, and Brie Bella is sadly walking down the ramp into the building all by herself. Did you know there was so much drama in WWE, Mike? It's crazy.
I guess they're real. I don't know. I got nothing for Total Divas. I never do.
Of course, I got to say that I will defend the guys nowadays somewhat, in the sense that I can rant and rave all I want about how Shawn Michaels stood up for himself and guys today don't. But the fact of the matter is, in 1997, 1998, if WWE would have fired Shawn Michaels, he would have waltzed his way right into WCW because there was another giant wrestling promotion that he could go to. Guys nowadays, a lot of those guys, if they get fired, it's like, okay, I can make no money in TNA. I can make no money in Ring of Honor. I can make no money. I guess they could make a little money in New Japan, but how many guys are really going to get a gig in New Japan? Not going to make any money in Mexico. I mean, if you want to make money, it's WWE or nothing.
And Michaels came up at a time where you still had to perform to get paid, too. So that hustle was there, too. Whereas now it's like, again, like you're saying, you know, where other options do you have? So take it while you can get it and shut up. And the machine's going to roll on no matter what you do. And unfortunately, too often, that's exactly the case.
Remember when Kevin Nash once said, I try and treat this business like a business. And when I do, people get upset at me. And he's kind of right, but at the same time, when you are in a business, I hate to use this term, but this is a reality. What's best for business is best for everybody. It's more than just what's best for you. Let's go to the phones real quick. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris in Las Vegas.
Chris, what's up?
I had a quick question for you. You guys were talking that it was the anniversary of Montreal Screwjob and whatnot. So when Brett had pulled out his hair and Sean was saying that he was quitting, did WCW ever try to make a play for him? Did he, like, call Nash at the time and ask about going over, or was there never any feelers? I'll take my answer off here.
All right, we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Just a quick note on the last caller. To the best of my knowledge, during that period in the mid-90s, obviously guys were under contract, and as long as you were under contract, you could not officially negotiate back and forth with the other company. But obviously a guy like Shawn Michaels, who was buddies with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and Sean Waltman and other guys in WCW, you could have a private conversation with your friends. And feelers, I believe, was the term used, sent back and forth. But, you know, Sean threatened many times, oh, I'm going to go to WCW. But obviously, when you're under contract in the middle of a wrestling war and you're Shawn Michaels, the chances of that happening are pretty slim, especially with some of the lawsuits that were going back and forth between the two sides. Want to mention that tomorrow is Raw. John Cena versus Ryback is the main event of the show, at least as of right now. That may well change by the time Raw goes on the air. I am going to be back later on tonight with a brand new show. Vinny and I are going to be talking about a number of different shows: SmackDown, NXT, Lucha Underground, and there was one more. SmackDown, NXT, oh, Ring of Honor, of course. Ring of Honor. So we'll be talking about that tonight on the program. That is exclusive to subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you have not got enough wrestling talk for the day, head to WrestlingObserver.com, sign up right now, and you will have that audio first thing in the morning or later on tonight to enjoy. I want to thank Mike, as always, of course, Scott, and everybody at Sports Byline, all of the listeners as well. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.